This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geek, show number 331, recorded on October 20th, 2017. Here on Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets that play home, news reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios here, not on a Thursday night. We are on a Friday night. Actually, we're going out tonight. Was busy last Thursday, no live show. Had to pick up my daughter from college, and so skipped the live show. I'll tell you a little bit of what we're going to do here in just a few minutes. But, of course, we post a show with world-class show notes each week out at the Average Guy. TV. You can also join us live most weeks when we're available. Of course, Thanksgiving is coming up here in the United States in about a month. So we always take that night off. But most Thursday nights, you can join us live. Home Gadget Geeks app, of course, made available by our friends at LastPass. And we appreciate their sponsorship for that. And they'll be on the show here in a couple weeks. But you can check it out. All the apps are available for you. HomeGadgetGeeks.com, both Android and iPhone apps available for you. One click. I get 10 or 12 of you guys to listen to that every week. Appreciate when you do that. Thanks, LastPass, for their sponsorship. And then don't forget, best way to support the show is through Patreon. If you haven't done that yet and you want to do that, again, optional and up for you. Your choice, head out to theaverageguy.tv. Look for the Patreon link. It's on the right-hand side, little right-hand column, Patreon. Click on that. $1 and $5 plans. We're going to do some things with the meetup through Patreon, but check that out if you're interested in supporting the show. Appreciate it. As well. Okay. I mentioned tonight, well, actually want to think about last week. We had, I had Mike Wieger back on the program. Really good show. Got some really good feedback on it. If you haven't checked it out yet, you might want to go back and give that one a try. We talk about some topics, including Bitcoin and blockchain and some of those that that brings things up to speed. As we speak today, it's just kind of crazy if you're keeping track of it. Even if you're not, Bitcoin, Mike sent me a note today and said, I think it's gone over 6,000, which is just ridiculous if you've been following the show for any length of time. 5983 right now as I'm just kind of looking live on the screen here. Just kind of insane. Anyways, go back and take a peek at that. Well, one of the things, and by the way, I always appreciate your feedback. If you want to send that to me, Jim at theaverageguy.tv, always appreciate you doing some feedback. Just kind of helps me know where to go and what to do and some of those kind of things going forward. So we also... I'm getting the newsletter out on a regular basis. If you haven't subscribed to that, go to theaverageguy.tv/newsletter. There's a little sign up on the top of the screen there. You can sign up for it. It's just a good way to get checked in there. I haven't had anybody sign up for that in a while. We probably have 60 or so in the newsletter, but I'm kind of letting you know what's going on and what's coming up. And so if you want to get some ideas of what's going on here at theaverageguy.tv, you can get signed up in the newsletter. All right. Two interviews coming up for you. Available, what I did at Heartland Developer Conference, two really good ones. John Larson's going to go first. We'll get Shauna Dorsey up second. With John, we talked a little bit about some little gadget bots that he has, and I got a chance to mess around with those afterwards. Pretty cool. Not a good little toys as we're coming up on Christmas. Maybe something to think about as you think about the toys you get the kids or even yourself for Christmas time. Shauna Dorsey, we catch up with her. She's been a good friend of the show. We catch up with her as her move to AIM, and we talk a little bit about what's going on here in Omaha, some of the work I've been doing as well, just some general stuff. So hopefully you'll enjoy that as well. Let's get started. Well, Kim Collison, we're live from the Heartland Developer Conference 2017. Day two, it's Friday, here with John Larson. John's from AIM. John, welcome.
Thank you.
Good to have you. Tell us your role at AIM, John, just for those who
I'm
don't
a
know
systems
you.
Engineer. I pretty much work on systems and servers. Recently, I've been attached to an education department to help out at the AIM Brain Exchange with the kids programs.
Nice. And if you're watching this on YouTube, we actually have a whole page of these at siliconprairienews.com/live. John was instrumental in making sure all the code got out there. Mm-hmm. So those are available. So if you're catching this live on siliconprairienews.com/live, and I will definitely repurpose this at theaverageguy.tv.
Cool.
As well as a Home Gadget Geeks something insert or something. John, you rolled one of these over to us this
yes.
morning. Why don't you talk a little bit about what do you guys have here?
Well, these are Dash, and they're used for in our programs where we teach kids how to do fundamental programming. If you're familiar with Scratch, the blocky type programming
kind
methods.
Of plug and play Lego,
yeah,
like
it's very
assembly
similar.
Of code.
Yeah, and they help the kids by teaching the robot to do steps. And let me see if I can pull it up and then kind of give an example on the TV. So here's an example of what it looks like. I don't know if you wanted to hold that up
closer.
Yeah, here,
we'll tilt that a little bit. So
there it goes. Kind of... So each one of those little blocks is a function that tells it what to do. And there's even as much you can do variables, functions, movement, sound, react to sound. So like if you clap your hand, they'll start the program up.
So it's got a ton of sensors in it as we look at it. Some lights up front, IR down below. It's listening, so there must be some microphones.
Yeah, you can see some little holes around here. Okay. There's a couple mics.
Lights up front, lights on the side, lights on top, motorized on the bottom with wheels. It's freaking out because I just
picked him up.
Right?
He's still going through his startup procedure.
I can. A wheel that helps it turn on the back side.
Yep.
Pretty stable design. Now, if I set this down, is it going to take off on me?
He shouldn't, but I'll hold on to him. He's laughing right now.
So you can kind of see what. Where would I find these? If I wanted to pick one of these up, where would I find them?
You can get them. I've seen them at Target, the Apple Store. They're from a company called Make Wonders, so they have it on their website. This is the Dash model. It's like $150.
Which is not terrible.
No, uh-uh.
Yeah.
There's also Dot, which doesn't move. It looks just like the same size of the head with a little stand. And they interact with each other. So you can program reactions. Say, if you want to make your own little hide and seek, you can have Dash look for Dot. There's attachments that go on these various sides where these little punch downs are. And they do Lego attachments. There's a xylophone attachment. So there's a music component where you have to program the music into it. So the head kind of moves and clanks down on the xylophone.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you guys are using them. Give me some ideas on how you're using them at the Brain Exchange. What are some ways that you're able to, you know, use them for education?
This past summer, we had some groups of kids who were in an ESL program. Some of them were only in the country for like 2 weeks or even a week. They don't really know English very well, but they can learn English by listening,
making some noises,
some steps, you know, it's all logic steps.
Right.
And they get to learn left and right, those words, you know, up and down and colors based upon what some of these do.
Yeah. Very cool. And we were talking earlier, camera attachment would be interesting too, especially in a conference like this, maybe a GoPro or something attached to it. And you get this unique perspective, you know, from the floor, in the crowd, you know, whatever.
He's so kind of looking at your hands. I've noticed that it sometimes follows your hand around a little bit.
Is there any kind of tracking then?
I was playing with him over there, which I'd never really had a chance to do because it's always in a classroom setting, you know, I had it following my hand a little bit, but I think there might be a little bit of light scattering around right now.
Yeah.
That's a little bit throwing things off. The infrared sensors, have actually set off our, projector screens. So the projector screen will go back up into the ceiling when they've been using these. One of the most surprising things this summer is we had the kids in the group and they were working with them. And some get, you know, more advanced than others while they're working on it. One of the kids paired three of these up to one tablet and drove all three at the exact same time.
Mm.
So they were all turning in unison and moving around.
Kind of like a swarm.
Yeah.
A swarm effect.
Now, I know you can do that with the Spheros.
Right.
But I didn't know you could do it with the Dash and Dot.
Yeah. It would be awesome if they understood location from each other and you could also... Do they? Are they able to communicate with each other in that way?
I think they... When we've had them together, they do kind of react to each other. And so...
They just connected.
He just said, I see. So he probably sees the other guy.
Yeah. Is there on the app, is there any kind of dialogue so you know what they're saying? It's kind of hard to hear sometimes in this environment.
Right.
Do I get any feedback on the app? On what they're saying?
Not really.
Okay.
I mean, in the programming portion, you can tell it what words to say.
Okay.
And you can also record small snippets and upload them into the device and have them say that too. One of them at the booth we have is looking for Sarah Connor. It's one of the phrases that he says.
looking for Sarah Connor.
Yeah. Yeah. But normally I programmed them to say, welcome to HDC or come see me at the AIM Brain Exchange.
Yeah. How interesting to be able to, even with a real-time app, if you fly these things or drive these things like a drone,
mm-hmm.
you could send them out to find someone, find them, and then deliver a message, a little R2-D2-ish,
mm-hmm.
and then bring that, you know, and then say, follow me back.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you were trying to, you know, and they could... Based on, they would know, I would think, where they're at in the building and be able to.
That would be kind of cool.
You back. That would be cool.
You could probably, you know, there's the attachment so you can put Legos on it.
Yeah.
You might be able to pair it with the Mindstorm controller to get, add more functionality onto it. There's even like a little trailer you can get where you can tow something. So that might also be an advantage. You know, the old school Big Track where it would deliver the Apple.
Right.
So
right.
you could do very. This is much more involved than the Big Track was.
Yeah. On the programming side, on the development side, you said you've got students kind of working. Do you find that's a really easy development platform for them to get into? Do they figure it out pretty fast?
For them, whenever we've had groups of students come in, they instantly say, "When can we play with this?" Right. Yeah. So, well, we're doing some other things right now, but we'll get to those later in the year. That it's the color and the shape draws the kids to them.
Yeah. Yeah. So not necessarily new. I asked you, you know, how long have these been out? I was expecting you to say, oh, they just came out or this summer.
Mm-hmm.
But you said a year or so, maybe.
I think
more?
It's a couple years.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they've been out a while. Nothing that new to me in the sense that I'm in the gadget space. So I see these a lot. I hadn't seen these, but maybe in the education space, they're more prevalent. Do you hear other organizations that are using them? And
some of the kids that came through this summer said, oh, it's Dash and Dot. So they'd used them in their classroom settings before.
Okay.
So they're being used around.
Yeah. So what's the best example you've seen of these being used so far in the stuff that you're doing? What did you have that aha moment when you said, oh, this was done really, really well?
I think it's just watching the kids take to it and get to it that fast.
Yeah.
You know, you give them a few instructions, but they're smart enough to just figure a lot of that stuff out. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a few you got to say, well, left turn, right turn. And we always get a little bit confused with left turn and right turn, especially when you're working on something that is now facing you and you turn left, it's going this way.
Opposite direction.
Then you're saying, well, that's left.
Yeah.
Some of that's just spatial awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And I have that issue when I'm flying a drone as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, is it going forward or backwards? That's easy, but left and right sometimes... It is a little bit of a challenge, but I think that challenges are good, kind of stimulates the brain and makes you want to figure it out and solve it.
Yeah, I do like the aspect of teaching kids how to program in swarms. These would be a fantastic model if you could get four or five and program them together. I think there's some interesting, when we talk about nanotechnology of the future, and there's going to be some interesting things we can do with nanomachines, even for our own bodies, as we send these miniaturized versions of these with, you know, whether it's to repair things or to fix things or to remove things. I think teaching students how to understand the concept and idea of swarms.
Mm-hmm.
We saw this a lot and we see this a lot with drone and drone technology. We've talked to you a little bit about all those on Home Gadget Geeks as we've had you on. But I think at this level, there's some really interesting things we can do as well.
And it's the beginnings of these for the kids of tomorrow to learn and what they're going to come up with. It's going to be interesting.
Very good.
Amazing.
Well, John, thanks for sharing them. Dash and the others, Dot.
Dot, yeah. Right? It's like a little sphere just like that.
Probably find those Amazon, Target, Apple Store.
Mm-hmm.
Those are available. A good education product if you want to do it that way. So, John, thanks for coming on and showing those off to us.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. Jim Collison, we're live from Heartland Developer Conference 2017. I'm here with Shauna Dorsey, who just apparently can talk in the middle of the interview. It doesn't matter. Shauna, welcome. Welcome to the conference. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you. A lot's changed, actually, for you.
Mm-hmm.
When we think about from last year to this year in this conference, you're now an AIM employee.
That's right.
And what's your title over there, Dame?
It is Vice President of Tech Education and AIM purchased Interface.
They did.
So that's really
great.
They purchased Interface Web School and then hired me to run it and That's
among other ascendry. What other ascendry duties have they given you?
Okay, so I also manage the sales and the sales team right now. So that's really fun.
Nice.
I'm just working through process stuff and
figuring stuff out.
And then I had a chance to offload some of the day-to-day kind of operations stuff that I was doing for Interface. So it's been good.
Good. Seemingly really good change. I've been, and I'm not just saying this because you're here, but I'm super positive about what AIM is doing in the city of Omaha around tech and tech education. And of course, they now own both of these conferences and Big Omaha. Am I saying that right? Big Omaha?
HDC and Infotech.
As well as Big Omaha. Mm-hmm. And I really love the synergy that we get because of that.
Yes.
And so tell me a little bit about, I mean, as you are talking about, as we talk about what's going on in AIM, can you kind of give us an update on what else is going on inside the organization?
Yeah. So really right now we're really focusing on tech education and professional development initiatives. So a lot is going on the youth side, just giving kids access to free tech opportunities, and they're learning skills from local pros and also educators from the community. So that's really great.
Well, what kind of, like you say, opportunities? What kind of opportunities, and how do I take advantage of them?
Sure. So there's a, you can learn how to build mobile applications, build little robots, work with circuit boards and things like that. All of this info is on careerlink.com/brainexchange, and all of the upcoming workshops and registration info is out there.
Yeah, Brain Exchange. Tell me a little bit about what this Brain Exchange has become. I watched you guys kind of build it. I haven't been out in a little while, but I see pictures all the time on Facebook.
Yeah.
Tell me about the Brain Exchange.
Yep, so each day for the most part now, we're hosting elementary school kids who come over from Liberty Elementary. So that school is serving a really under-resourced population, which it is what it is, but they can walk right over to Brain Exchange and take advantage of our like video editing capabilities and the building coding classes, all that good stuff. It's a 4,500 square foot building. It has 3 classroom areas and just great access to tech opportunities for kids. So it's great. And Interface is housed there too. So
Tell me how's Interface doing? How are they reaching people?
So it's good. Now that we've got access to a marketing team and all of that, then we are, able to expand our reach a bit. So we've also done a lot of partnering. So we have Don't Panic Labs as one of our partners. We've got great relationships through AIMS board with like Blue Cross Blue Shield, First Data, Mutual of Omaha, Bellevue University, many others. So it's going well.
Yeah. I was reading an article in New York Times or something. There's a few code schools that have closed recently, right? Having some struggle.
Yeah.
What's AIM going to do to make sure that Interface is able to continue to survive and maybe a little bit of a downturn in that, in this education space?
Yeah, I think the challenge is that it's the full-time model is really challenging for some people. Mm-hmm. So we just have never done that. Our approach has always been like, we know that you have to keep working. And so we give people opportunities to train with us while maintaining their employment and being able to still provide for themselves and their family. So we really haven't seen a downturn in enrollment or registration. So I think it's just adapting to what the market actually needs.
Yeah, it's a good idea to pay attention to the market, right?
Yeah,
just kind of see. So. It's a great model.
I'm thinking about the career transitioning adult in many cases. That's really who I focus on, because I remember when I was first starting out in tech. So I went to UNO, great school, studied management information systems, but really kind of had a gap in the practical versus theoretical. And so when I went to work as I was a help desk intern and then worked on a business development team and did all this stuff at this commodities trading firm. But one thing I really wanted to do was build websites, and I didn't really know how to do it. So I would like download templates, and it was just basic HTML and CSS, which to me is extremely basic at this point. But back then that code confused me and I would like miss a closing bracket and my code wouldn't work. And then I just throw the whole project away because I didn't know how to fix it. And I'm like, if there were just a way for me to go and not go get another degree, but just do something on the side part-time like Interface is, so that I can level up. Or could have leveled up, that would have been extremely helpful.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You mentioned a partnership or some work with Bellevue University. Mm-hmm. Certainly, there's some things going on at Metro Community College as well. How's Interface different, or how's it How does it play in that space with Metro Community College?
Yeah, Metro Bellevue, all of them, I kind of see interface as a complement to those things. It's kind of like a certificate program that you would just kind of layer on to your other skill set. So we have students from Metro that go through interface because they're training in one area, but to get the amount of training, like we do about 100 contact hours on our 10-week web developer training course. To get that, it would take a couple of semesters or something. So they'll do it through us, but then still go to Metro to pursue the associates, which we don't offer. So I think it's a nice partnering pairing, if you will. Not partnering, pairing, coupling. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, and from an employer standpoint, we look at all those different areas and continue to see where we can find those resources that mm-hmm. fit what we need and are in the right spot and in the right place in life. And
right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I even think too, if employers have employees who are interested in tech, that's a great option as well, because those employees don't have to quit to come train with us.
That's a good point.
You know?
Yeah.
And keep working with you. You know, they're a cultural fit at Gallup. It's hard to get in there. So if they're already in, and then they go get a short-term certificate, then that could be a good
way. How long's the program? And you say, so it's after work?
It's after work, like 5:30 to 9:30, two nights a week. So we used to offer, when we first started, we were doing like 5 days a week, half days.
Yeah.
Then we went down to 3 days a week, four-hour sessions. Now we're at two nights a week, four-hour sessions each. So it is what I'm looking for.
Well, so the time is shortened.
Yeah.
In the way that you're doing it. And so did the duration extend a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how long would I expect to be there?
So we have like three different options. Well, two, sorry. So the first is a foundations course, which is 10 weeks. And that one meets 8 hours a week. So 80 hours for that one. And then if you want to continue on, let's say you're interested in becoming a Java developer, then you would take an additional 14-week, two-night-a-week class that would add another 100-something hours. So it's about a 200-ish hour commitment. Okay.
Could I even learn WordPress?
You can.
Is that? That's even an option. Mm-hmm. I've been toying with that a little bit. I'm kind of a WordPress hacker.
Okay.
I just kind of hack on the code. You know, I kind of let it do it for me, but mm-hmm. that's a good way to dig in. There's mm-hmm. quite a bit of WordPress in the city of Omaha.
Yeah, there is. There is.
No, that's pretty cool. Hey, so let's shift gears. Can we shift gears a little bit? Do we cover... I want to shift gears a little bit on the city of Omaha. You might be the most famous person, I think. Maybe besides Warren. He might have you right now. What are you excited about in the city of Omaha? I mean, what's really – you have access to a lot of the different groups. You're speaking all the time and all over the place. What are you excited about when you think about what's going on here in the city of Omaha?
Okay. I think that we're evolving, which is really nice to see. So you've got – in Omaha, like these pockets of poverty, which people know about. And if you're not from here, you don't. But like you've got North and South Omaha. Like North Omaha has, I think, unemployment rate of about 20-something percent. It's a little bit. It's higher. Like Omaha's unemployment rate is about 3-ish percent. It's low. It's one of my board members.
Oh, okay. He's trying to sneak in on us.
Yeah.
Sorry, dude. I'm just not going to look at you.
There you go.
Yeah.
You keep it moving, right?
Yeah, that's okay. Right. That's right.
Like we're not doing right now.
Yeah. So 3%?
3% overall in the city. It's really low. So I like that there's a lot of efforts and a lot of attention being, or attention and resources being applied to help address that. And we're seeing some different options. So there's more training and workforce development options for people. And really getting them connected to employers, I think, is going to be the key. But I just like that people are more open to these different ways of solving old problems.
Mm-hmm. Are we moving the needle when we think about STEM awareness and STEM education?
Yeah.
Are we moving the needle and not just among college males?
Right.
But are we doing better? Do you think
so. It's just going to take a while to see, because we're targeting, and you do this too, but we're targeting little kids like middle school, high school. And so we need to see, do they end up in computer science programs in school? If they do they stick with it? If they stick with it, do they end up in computer science careers? So, or tech careers? And that's probably like a 10-15 year deal. So we won't see it right away.
No,
I think it's so important to put in that effort.
Yeah, our first high schoolers are in their fifth year, mm-hmm. And even that, we're just they're getting ready to graduate, and they'll just be brand new. We put 4 or 5 years into them, and it takes a while to see those things pay off, and the numbers dwindle each year.
Yeah,
and
that's
so
how it goes.
Yeah, it just is.
Yeah, but we just need to keep pushing forward with that, and you know, I think that we're making some good headway.
Yeah, we have a new STEM ecosystem here in Omaha, and I'm kind of excited for it and the work that it's doing and bringing some attention to it. So,
I'm doing a presentation for them.
Yeah, I know. Okay. I do. I know. Okay. I suggested that they
well, that's nice. Look at that. Jim Collison.
We were looking for somebody, and I was like, Shauna is probably the right person for this. And they took me up on my offer to do it. Hey, so someone, Little Bird, told me you're starting a podcast. Is that true?
Yes.
Why would anyone start a podcast? Nobody listens to these things anyway, Shauna. Why would you start a podcast?
Yeah.
What are you hoping to do with it?
So it's a new initiative with AIM. And we're just trying to find just different ways to reach our audience and share our story. So, and then connect them with people in the community that they may not know or have ever met. Like I heard also the same birdie told me that you're going to be our first guest.
What? Yes, that is true. I'm looking forward to it. Kicking
It'll
off.
Be great.
Kicking off, way back in the day, we tried a Silicon Prairie News podcast. And we tried some things that it had marginal success, I think. It was, it's one of those kinds of things you try. I love the angle on getting stories, like getting community stories out there. I think podcasting is a great way to get these stories out.
I agree. And they can be shared easily and all of that. And once you figure out this SEO thing that we've been talking about.
Oh, I was talking earlier. I'm using dropping audio into Azure, Microsoft Azure, to then get the transcripts back. Super excited. It's ready. It's like, and I need to get home and pull the files so I can look at it and kind of compare them. And unfortunately I can't do it on my phone. It'd be a little crazy, but excited about a great way of sharing and getting the information out there and finding quotes and some of those things. Well, so it'd be exciting to kind of help you guys kind of launch and get, and I'm assuming it's going to be City of Omaha or
Greater
Omaha. We always forget our friends across the river.
That's right. Can't forget those guys.
In Council Bluffs.
Google. We don't.
They have a big Google. Have you been to the new data center over there?
Not yet.
Me neither. I think it's secret. I'm not sure they let anybody in. Adam. We know Adam, though.
There you go.
Where is Adam?
Hater. You know, his daughter interns for us. She's amazing.
Really?
And her name's Erin.
No, I didn't know that. Yeah, I haven't seen him. Usually he is everywhere in here.
Yeah.
But we're jammed in here. There's a lot of vendors at the conference.
Yeah.
Is this because of you?
No.
Oh, you can't take credit for it? You said sales. I thought maybe you were selling.
I'm not like the salesperson.
We
have a team that
But you're the lead.
It. Yeah, but I'm just kind of organizing. I think that they are the ones doing they're getting it done.
Yeah. Well, apparently it's a good conference. Do you know the numbers? Yeah.
About 800.
Okay. Is up, down? Do you know?
I will check.
Okay. All right. Well, just kind of wondering. It's a great conference. Let me say the sessions that I have interviewed for so far, very technical.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of refreshing, to be honest. Sometimes in the past, it's been more. Now, I get infotech confused with this sometimes, too. And that's more business integrations and some of those kinds of things. But this has been really, 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 really technical.
Good.
So that's kind of exciting. All right. So let's practice your podcast.
Okay.
So you have to ask me questions now. What do you want to know? What do you want to know about me, Shauna?
Okay. Well, Jim, thanks for joining me today.
It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Jumping right into
it. Yeah. I like it. Very nice.
Oh, wow. I found my headphones. That's me.
Did you drop them?
I dropped those hours ago.
I'm waiting. What's my first question? Were you stalling for the question? Is that kind of what you're doing?
I just thought of. Okay. I was not prepared for this, but let's see.
Let's see how good your interviewing skills are. Because a good interviewer is able to stall long enough with questions. Like when they don't know what's going on, you ask some questions, but you kind of lead into it a little bit.
Right.
And then eventually it comes. So let's practice a little bit.
So we're at HCC.
Here we go.
So, Jim, what are your thoughts so far about HCC? You mentioned that there's some really technical talks. Like, has there been anything that really stuck out to you?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I had two interviews in a row that talked about the .NET Core, mm-hmm. which I had not. I was a .NET guy for a lot of years and managing it, and I hadn't really kept up with it. And it actually, Sam, who I just interviewed a few minutes ago, he was like, hey, you know, you ought to look at the Visual Studio Code, mm-hmm. new free application from Microsoft that our high school students could use. And we're continuing, you know, our high school students use JavaScript. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the language we picked, we're most familiar with on Meteor, on mm-hmm. a Meteor platform. But I'd like to get them more into Visual Studio because we use a lot of Visual Studio and yeah. Gallup. And so this may be the opportunity. I'll take it back to the team and say, hey, team, like, have we looked at this Visual Studio yeah. code product? And is this something we can use as kind of that step, the next step into, mm-hmm. and they can still do JavaScript in there.
Right.
But it would be kind of that entry into C#. That's kind of where we're at.
Yeah, that's a good idea, you know, because then they're using tools that are business tools. So then, right. you know, they just come more equipped to do real.
Yeah, I'm finding, Shauna, that our high school students are coming more. This kind of goes to the question mm-hmm. I asked you about, are we making a dent? I'm actually finding that our high school students are coming more and more prepared. Now,
yeah,
I do get the top 5% of the students in the right. city of Omaha because yeah. I'm one of the few high school programs. Mm-hmm. So I'm a little jaded. That's probably not the right word. I'm a little biased in the sense that I get kids who are more than ready.
Right.
But that being said, I think we're seeing even those kids who are more than ready are uh-huh. even more ready than they've ever been to do some of the more sophisticated coding. Mm-hmm. And so we've actually, this year on a high school team, we've divided them up into kind of beginning and intermediate.
Okay, great.
And some advanced.
Yeah.
So that we could kind of keep them challenged. Mm-hmm. And so they're just, I think they're just more ready than they've been.
That's really good to hear. I think, and you and I have talked about this before, but one of the challenges is still this opportunity gap, right? So we have the top 5%, which is awesome for them. And I'm so happy that they're taking advantage of these opportunities. Yeah. But then it's like, how do we reach the ones who are not being connected with?
Yeah, right? we have some work to do. I think what we're thinking at Gallup today, you and I have been through this conversation, but we want to still continue to partner with our local AIM, University of Nebraska system to really work. I think you and I know we got to reach these kids in 5th, 6th, and 7th grade. That's kind of the key.
Yeah.
It's 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th is kind of the key. We've got to get these programs going where the kids can see these things earlier.
Yeah.
And then you and I have talked about this as well, but the key, and I mention this all the time, the key is transportation. If we could get the students mm-hmm. in there, if we could get them great opportunities to learn 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, starting in 9th grade, being able to get them to a place like Gallup where they right. could learn. I think we're on to something there, and that's the hard part.
What do you think about, and okay, on my podcast, I'll wait till people are done with their question because I did not do that for you. I was like ready to jump
in there. Good. I'm good
with
that.
What do you think about starting even earlier now? And I ask this because there have been groups of kids I worked with who are like 7 and 8 years old, and they're not as influenced by the different peer pressures that come along with, you know, becoming a teenager, which seems to happen earlier and earlier, but the elementary school age, like about that third, fourth year, something like that.
Yeah.
Even though we know that that kid is like 20 years out from like maybe being a computer programmer, but getting that interest early.
It's a super good question. Mm-hmm. Not sure I have a super good answer. It's a little fuzzy for me. Like, we absolutely need to get them involved in some kind of code and some kind of development. And so what that looks like and how right. we do it, I'm not sure I'm ready yet. I haven't done enough work in that space. One of the things I do like about Omaha is we have tons of great organizations mm-hmm. that are K-6.
Right.
And in the ecosystem, I'm looking forward to working with some of them to help kind of flesh that out. Mm-hmm. Because you're right. I think if we can build that confidence in or even earlier,
yes.
We'd have a better chance at keeping them around. So I'm all for it. How to do it.
Right.
Excuse me. How to do it is a whole nother,
That's true.
It's a whole other education piece.
I don't know the answer either. I'm just thinking that if there was like elementary and then there's some like pathway into a program like yours, which is still like 8-9 years away from when they're.
Yeah.
You know, but you never know. That could be something.
There's something there. There is something there. And you're right. If I don't get them by the time they're freshmen, they're gone.
Forget it. Yeah.
And so we got to back up that truck to about fifth grade. Mm-hmm. And there are some developmental questions that exist. Yeah. They're fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth, that they need to be kind of ready to be able to do that. So I don't know. We got our work cut out for us. I mean, there is a lot there. And I get some amazing, compliments for the program that we do at Gallup. Mm-hmm. And yet there's some amazing opportunities in groups that we haven't even scratched the surface on.
So, I think that's a great thing, though.
Yeah.
Opportunity.
Yeah. Well, it'll keep me occupied for the next, as long as I'm alive. I'm hoping to kind of work on this problem until I can't physically anymore. Yeah. I think there's a lot of headspace and timing in here that needs to be taken care of. Mm-hmm. And so pretty exciting. Well, I'm going to take the interview back over because our time is up. You did a great job.
Thank you.
Nice. So do you feel more ready now for your
podcast?
Yeah, that
felt really natural and like it got really conversational, which I think is great.
I know. I can't wait to be interviewed. Cool. This is going to be great. Is it going to be questions like that?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's a surprise.
Well, okay. Well, what's not a surprise is I have an interview at 3:00. So for those of you who are watching live with Shauna, a little update on AIM and some things that are going on in the city of Omaha. We appreciate you coming out and being a part of it. Shauna, is it okay if I like just try to make this video go viral?
Yeah, what are you going to do?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't think it's viral. I don't think it's viral material. Yeah, maybe if I get you like, you know how they make those videos where they kind of go back and forth. You know, I find a moment and then I just
make
it repeat.
Right?
If I do that. Well, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
All right. Well, thanks for making it through that all the way. I did want to tell you as well, I did an interview on Podcast Junkies. So if you haven't watched that, most of you probably haven't, but if you're interested at all in the backstory, my podcasting backstory, just some things about me, it was a fun interview that I did, 50 minutes in length or so. Most recent Podcast Junkies, head out there, podcastjunkies.com. It's kind of hard to miss if you want to do that. Harry Duran and his work over there, he does a nice job. He's a fun guy to talk to. And so if you're interested in catching up on that, do that as well. Want to thank Jelly Comb. Also, during the Home Server Show meetup, headed out to Indianapolis, they provided me and I'll leave the link to this in the show notes. We've been tweeting about this, but a really cool power adapter that's got Type-C, USB Type-C on it. Regular kind of USB charge, quick charge for any of those devices that you have. And then it's got the new Qualcomm 2.0 quick charge for some of the Android devices that are out there. $16 on Amazon right now, and of course, worked out pretty well. Really rugged, really durable, and it packs really, really well. And so I'll leave a link to that in the show notes as well. Just a couple of reminders about who's coming up. And again, you can subscribe to that to our email list and always kind of know what's going on. Addie Salcido is coming back next week. She'll be on the program. We're going to talk a little bit about what she's doing in her work. She's got some good gadgets and some interesting things we're going to talk about. As well. Right after her, Amber Gott and LastPass have been promising this. We just had a hard time getting that in, and so we think we're set now on the 2nd. And then on November 9th, Dave McCabe, Keith Lunsford, Mike Wieger is back. We're going to be talking drones, so we got some good stuff coming up there. I've got an open week for the 16th. We'll get that filled. Thanksgiving is the week after that, and so we're gone. Aaron Lawrence is back here December 7th. Aaron's going to come with a whole host of things as we start getting ready for Christmas. It will be here before we know it. Holy moly, I can't believe we're talking about Christmas. And I'm already feeling like 2018 is here. Also thinking about some shows first of the year, more roundtable, more getting you involved. You might think, hey, I've got something to say. I got a note this week from somebody who said, hey, I'd like to talk, you know, some old tech. We've broached that subject here before, you know. Let's go back into the archives and talk about, you know, Atari, or talk about a Timex Sinclair 1000 or some of those kinds of things. If you're interested in doing that, if you've got some stories to tell, I'm interested in hearing from you, Jim at theaverageguy.tv. Maybe we'll try once a quarter or so, throw
do an old school show where we just go back and we talk about things that in the old days, whatever those just happened to be. You know, for Kyle, a guy like Kyle Wilcox, today are the old days. He'll be talking about these days when he gets older. But if you got a story along those lines, we'd love to hear it, Jim, at theaverageguy.tv. Don't forget, you can support us on Patreon if you want. The Patreon link's available. It is out there. I mentioned, send me an email, Jim at theaverageguy.tv. Track me down on Twitter. Lots of Twitter conversations going on out there. A lot of really good conversations going on. It's a great place to be. In fact, I got home and was checking Twitter just today. I got 10 tweets just during the day. So lots going on out there. Appreciate you pinging me on Twitter. So if you want to do it that way, that's a great way to do it. Don't forget, theaverageguy.tv platform, both media and web hosting, provided by Maple Grove Partners. Get secure, reliable, high-speed hosting from people that you know and you trust. And yeah, we haven't had Christian on Cyber Frontiers in a while. We're going to get that one of those done. He's been pretty busy at Amazon. But more information, visit maplegrovepartners.com. Of course, you know Christian's behind Maple Grove Partners. And then don't forget, you can listen to us live on our mobile app, homegadgetgeeks.com. LastPass sponsors that. We appreciate all that they do for us as well. We're out here or out there most Thursdays, a couple Thursdays. Seems like towards the end of the year, it gets a little bit more difficult. I have to look at Christmas too. Not sure when Christmas falls this year, so I have to look at it. But most Thursdays, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, out here at theaverageguy.tv live. I know we've been talking about mining a lot lately. If you're interested, we started a section on it in the forums at Home Server Show. So if you go to homeservershow.com, create an account if you don't already have one. Towards the bottom of the forums, there's a cryptocurrency section that Dave has started. You might want to jump in there with us. A good way to to talk about it. That's kind of where I'm going and what I've been doing. We're also looking at Saya mining. That is blockchain-based storage. We talked about storage or StoreJ. We talked about them earlier. I've kind of landed on Saya, and I had to restart my whole Saya experience. I made some mistakes early on, and so got that back up and running, and that seems to be working fairly well. And then I've been thinking about, just in the mining area, I've been thinking about some browser-based mining. There are some browser and browser applications. There's one called JSE. Those are the initials, JSE coin. And you can mine that right in the browser, and it actually doesn't take a ton of resources. So if you go out to jsecoin.com, check that out if you want to. I've been doing a little bit of work on that. I'll leave it to the end of the show for maybe the most interested. But if you get some dialogue around that, I've been mining here for a couple days on that. It literally requires almost no new hardware. And the better CPU you have, kind of the better hashing it does. If you're interested in getting in without having to buy a video card or do some of those things, check it out, jsecoin.com. And if you want to dialogue with me about it, shoot me a note. Love to do that. And pretty easy to do, an easy way to get in. Again, we're here every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, out here at theaverageguy.tv/live. With that, we'll say goodbye.